Hey friends, and welcome to another episode of the Foundry Church Podcast. My name is Joseph. I'm the worship pastor here at the Foundry Church in Winter Springs, Florida. We're so glad that you're spending a little bit of your week with us. What you are about to hear is possibly unlike any sermon you've ever heard before. That's because it is time for 2023's Brainstorm Series. We did this last year for 4 weeks. We're only doing it for 2 weeks this year. But this is a series where myself, our lead pastor, Seth Kane, and our family life pastor, Hunter Mertz, sit down at a table, and in place of a pre-prepared, pre-written message, we invite someone up from the crowd to choose a scripture at random by literally putting on a blindfold, putting their finger down in the Bible, and then we take 25 minutes to research it, talk about it, talk through different angles, all this kind of stuff, and try to come up with a message. We try to do like a 5-minute conclusion. This year, we're adding an element. We're calling this one a brainstorm, ministers versus machines. And in addition to our discussion and our conclusion and all that, we're also asking ChatGPT to write a 2-minute sermon based on the passage, and then we're sort of taking a look at that too. It's not meant to be a referendum on the efficacy or the value of artificial intelligence. It's not meant to be an anti-technology or pro-technology, whatever. We just thought it would be a fun and ridiculous thing to add in, especially since, as you'll see at the end of this message, I asked ChatGPT to write the sermon in the voice and the idiom of Batman. So that was a lot of fun. We got a verse from Psalm 108 this week, which threw us for a loop a little bit, I think. We initially just thought, hey, there's not a lot to go with here. This is a pretty surface level sort of thing. And as is always the case with Scripture, the more we dug, the more we realized, oh, there might actually be more here. But we had to work at this one. So we hope that you enjoy it. We hope you appreciate the work that went into the discussion this time around. And we hope that you enjoy this brainstorm.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so very glad you're here, whether you're joining us in person or online. My name is Seth, and this is the Foundry where we're all about a better you and a better world. We begin our new series called Brainstorm today. If you weren't here last year, we did this last year, we got a lot of good feedback from this, so we thought we'd do it again. We did have a few folks that said, it wasn't really our speed. Okay, we heard you. We're only going to do 2 weeks instead of four. So even if you didn't like it, hopefully you can bear with us. So basically, what we do, in case you weren't here, is we pick a volunteer. The volunteer comes up. They randomly select a passage from the scripture with their eyes closed, and then Joseph, Hunter, and myself attempt to talk through and sort through the passage within a 25-minute time period, and then put together some sort of hopefully coherent message that is meaningful or thoughtful to all of us in 5 minutes. Okay? So now, huh? No promises. No promises. Now, before we get started, I have a few caveats for this year, and I have one announcement. We need your help with something because we couldn't make a decision, so we thought we'd farm this out for your help. This coming Christmas Eve is on a Sunday, so we will have our normal church service on Sunday morning, and then we will have a Christmas Eve service. Our plan is to do one service because we want to bring all of our family together. So we'll have extra chairs and stuff, but rather than spreading it out over a couple, we want to do one so that everybody gets to be here together as one collective family. And so what time do you want to come? There's a few options. There's a poll on Facebook. Let us know what you think, because I know some of you are like, well, I wish you'd do it early, I wish you'd do it later. Just let us know, and then we'll kind of go with the group, and so then you can blame yourselves if you're not happy. Now, okay, so concerning Facebook stuff, once we pick the verse, Joe will put a Facebook post live on the Foundry Family Facebook. So if you have comments and want to chime in a little bit, you can do it there. My phone will be off, so don't text me. We ran into this last year. It distracts me, and so then throws me off my game more than I normally might be. So we're going to post that. There'll be the other posts about the times on Facebook. Couple things concerning this year's, what are we doing, brainstorm. What is the reason we do this? I think it's interesting because underneath all of it, I think this gives us different ways to think about and approach a scripture. So regardless of whether you've been studying the Bible for a long time or kind of new to the whole thing, this kind of gives you some insight to, we all kind of come at this stuff with a different approach, and there are certain ways and certain things you need to be mindful of when you study the scripture. And so this is kind of like a learning experience for all of us and going, hey, there's different methods to sort through this, but there are some key ones that are very important to keep in mind. Okay, the second thing is, the limitations this week will be, in week one, we will limit the picking to the Old Testament, but we will subtract the prophets, the minor and major prophets, and the Song of Solomon, right? Just because that stuff tends to take a bit more time to sort through. So we're going to pull that out of this week. And then next week, we're going to do the Old Testament, excluding Revelation. Because, huh? Oh, did I say old? Next week, we're going to do the New... You got me. Next week, New Testament, excluding Revelation, because again, it takes a lot of excavation, more than we can do in the time we have. The third thing is, we're calling this year Brainstorm Ministers versus Machine Edition. And so what we're going to do is, once we get the verse picked, as we sort through it, my buddy Joe over here is going to ask ChatGPT to write us a 2-minute message on the passage that we pick. And we just want to see, this isn't like a technology sermon, this isn't an AI, like we're not, it's just fun, okay? It's just fun, and then it also gives us the ability to kind of go, like, who did it better? And probably us, really, but... don't say it to our face if we did it. So anyways, it's just for fun, right? Don't take it too seriously. We're not like putting messages in here or anything. Also, we want to make sure we're going to see if we will be able to have jobs in the next couple years. So it's good for us to know if we need to touch up the resume. Okay, so are you guys ready? All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to need one volunteer who will be our brave picker. You don't have to do anything other than like be able to point at something. Can I ask for a volunteer to come join us on the stage? You want to come? Okay, can you come up here? All right, give us a hand, round of applause. Give us some music. Huh? You're used to this. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, now if you would step over here, and now if you would tell us your name.
Oh, Nettie.
This is Nettie. Nettie, how long have you been going to the church?
Oh, gosh. 6 years.
6 years. Okay, good. Okay, now what we're going to have you do, were you here last year? For this, okay?
No.
Okay, so what we're going to do is, in a moment, I'm going to have my, not yet, I'm going to have my lovely assistants, you can get ready, just not yet. I'm going to have my lovely assistants reveal what we like to call the podium of destiny, at which point I will then put a blindfold on you. Okay. Do you want to take off your glasses, maybe? And then I will spin you around, and then I will flip the Bible, and then I will hand you the section that you will pick from. You will then sort through at random and point to a verse.
Okay,
ready? So if we could step over here. Gentlemen, would you please reveal the podium of destiny? Didn't they do a good job? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Now, Nettie, please step this way. If you would please place this over your eyes. Okay, so, okay. Make sure you get in the right place. Okay, step forward. Okay, stop there. Now, I'm spinning. This is to build the anticipation. Now she has no idea. Okay, here's the sections. Reach out your hands forward. Okay, now flip, sort, and point. Okay. Okay. Point. A circle. Okay. All right, cut the music if you would. We are Psalms 6. You want to read it? Psalms 108, 6. Yep.
Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered.
Okay, that's a pretty easy one. I feel like you're really letting us off the hook, but thank you so much. Give her a round of applause. Please, you got it? All right, so let me read that again. Psalms 108, 6. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. Got it? Okay. Go.
Start the timer. Okay.
I feel like we could just like have a prayer and leave on that one, really. Do you know?
It's a good one.
Huh?
It's a good one.
It is a good one. The question is, can... Oh, that's...
You okay?
The lights are on different cues. We'll leave it. I don't care. Okay. Now, no pressure, boys.
Well, do we just want to read the whole psalm so that we can get the reference, since it's especially since it's a shorter one?
Okay, sure, we can. You want to do that? Joe, can you bring that up on the screen?
It's on screen. I'll read it. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my soul. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is higher than the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Give victory with your right hand and answer me, so that those whom you love may be rescued. God has promised in his sanctuary, with exultation I will divide up Shechem and portion out the veil of Sukkoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah is my scepter, Moab is my wash basin, on Edom I hurl my shoe, over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go out, O God, with our armies. O grant us help against the foe, for human help is worthless. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes. That was a bit of a journey.
Well, okay, so I think first off, if you just take this passage, right, it would appear to be pretty straightforward. Verse 6, save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. I feel like that's a common human prayer. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just... Yeah, we get that. We understand that. We all have times. But then I think you're right. With all of the specific places and things that he mentions, like, what was he dealing with? Because this says a Psalm of David. What is he dealing with at this time that is causing him to write these things? Any suggestions?
Is this one that is... actually written by David, or one that is attributed to David that may or may not be written by David?
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to look up right now. It just says it is attributed to David, so...
That's a tricky part about Psalms, is a lot of times it'll say a Psalm of David, and it's unclear if it is a Psalm written by David or a Psalm about David that was written some other time. Or a psalm written in the voice of David. And so the historical context of this might be a little iffy if we can't nail that down.
I mean, I don't have anything. do you guys want to give us some input here? Like, is there anything that you see, anything?
The Facebook post is live. You can go to the Foundry family. It's called Brainstorm Discussion Post.
Does that mean God is right-handed? That's a really good question.
The right hand of God was a general like metaphor, a symbol in writing to kind of demonstrate the protection of God, the strength of God, the power of God.
I mean, I do have a question, and this kind of takes us, I think, out of the direct Psalms here with this, but just that when he says that those you love may be delivered, it always makes me kind of go like,
who did he mean by that?
Well, I think we know who he meant by that, but like this idea of are there those who are outside of God's love?
Well, my thought is more of like there's a difference between who David maybe wanted God to love and who God actually loved.
Or is it David saying, deliver the ones you love the way that John wrote about the disciple whom Jesus loved?
Being
self-referential. Like, okay. Was David just saying, hey, me and my guys, me and my army, we love you. Deliver the ones you love.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, okay, so here's my thought immediately with this. One is we either kind of go down this path of getting to a bigger conversation about that, because I'm reminded of, I saw this Facebook post one time where it was a missionary group of kids who went on a mission group, and there was like a flooding, and then it like killed like a village of people and like did all this damage, and they were like, oh, praise, they were like, thank God, you know, thank you that God intervened, took care of us. And I was like, okay, that's cool, but also, like, what about the village? And then it raises all these other questions. So either my thought is we can go down that route, or we could repick. I'm just saying.
Now we're 6 minutes in, man.
Or we can
I feel like, to me, this one is like right there. Okay, we get it. He's dealing with stuff. He's trying to figure out, like, he wants God on his side. We all want these things. We're trying to trust God as we go through stuff. Is that the sermon?
So a lot of a number of
I don't know what that means.
A number of academics point out that the first half of this psalm sounds a lot like Psalms 57, and the second half sounds a lot like Psalms 60. That this is kind of like a mashup of, like, I don't know, maybe like greatest hits mashup kind of style. So much so, like, John Paul II, so Pope, said, what was the quote? Israel, already in the Old Testament, was reusing and bringing up to date the Word of God revealed. That this is maybe an updating of some previous Psalms and kind of going back, which is an interesting take on the writing of Scripture.
Okay, but what do we do with it?
We dive into it. Like, why these two psalms? Like, why did David either pick to reuse these psalms or kind of say the same thing that he did in these other two? Like, why is it important that these two are combined and put together in this specific way?
Are 57 and 60 psalms of David?
57.
While you're looking that up, we got our first comment. Something to consider, the name Benjamin means the right hand of God. Perhaps there's some sort of relation to the tribe of Benjamin.
Okay.
Maybe that's significant to the purpose of the writing in some way.
Okay, but here's my thing. I don't want us to, like, overly try to pick apart a thing for the sake of picking it apart to try to prove something. Like, sometimes things are just the thing. And so, to me, I read this, and this is a guy who's trying to lead God's people. He's trying to follow God's people or follow the lead of God. He's got a lot of stuff happening. You know, even in the end, verse 11 following, it is not you, God, who you have rejected us and no longer go out with our enemies. Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. With God, we will gain victory. He will trample down our enemies. I mean, this to me is a prayer of us in the everyday. You know, I guess I'm just going, like, to me, like, does it bear parsing further? I think you can nitpick, but I'm not sure that that gets you anywhere with this. Like, this is the psalm, this is a song, this is a crying out, this is taking that which is emotional and eternal and trying to invite God into the thing you're doing. Maybe that's the lesson. I don't know.
All right.
You guys are looking.
Let's go to response.
You guys are looking at me like with blank stares. I don't know what you want me to do.
Joe, how do you feel about that?
Huh?
How do you feel about that, Joe?
Do you disagree? Then say something.
I mean, it's a possibility. It's an avenue you could explore this passage. I'm not sure that it's the only one.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That he will, like David saying, God, I count on you.
Okay, so right. So what the audience is saying, for those who can't hear, maybe online, is just that all these things are intentional to essentially say, God, we're counting on you through what we're going through. Yeah, and I think that's a valid message. I get that. Again, I just think, I feel like we're trying too hard to make this into something more than...
I don't know. I think it's interesting. Like, I like this idea of splitting, of why they're polished.
Because... Well, then hit me with it, dude. What are you holding back on?
Oh, because I'm doing research and trying to figure out what is actually happening instead of just reading the text and taking it at face value.
I feel like that was a shot. I feel like what I heard was, I'm smarter than you. Why are you so dumb? Watch me. Also, somebody had to talk or else we're just sitting here staring at each other.
One of the things that's interesting is, yeah, so both of these are attributed also to David, but for kind of different purposes. So the 57 was during this time, it's noted as during this time when Paul, I mean, what, when he was fleeing from Saul into the cave, right? So this is a time of like, I need rescue. I need help. I need your protection. Hence the right hand of God. But 60 is a very different reversal. It's noted for teaching when he fought and he lists a bunch of people. And when Job returned and struck down 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. So like this is during a war. So it's like in when I'm fleeing for my life and then when I'm killing people.
Okay, so back up. Psalms 108, how did you get to Psalms? It's, you're connecting Psalms 108 to these repetitive phrases in 57 and 60?
Yeah, that the verses reflect the structure, the words, the
okay,
themes.
Can you show that to me?
Yeah, so verses 1 through 5. My heart is steadfast, I will sing and make music with all of my soul.
Okay, so that's from 108. That's where we're at.
From 57. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music.
Okay, hold on. Joe, can you pull up that on the screen, the 108, the first?
You might be able to put them next to each other.
Not with zoomed in like that.
But that's pretty much the same word. My heart, O God, is steadfast is one verse. And then the other chapter, my heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul.
Blue apron.
I will sing and make music, awake my soul. Awake, harp and lyre, I awake at the dawn. Awake, harp and lyre, I awaken at the dawn. Like these are direct, like it's just copy and paste right into 108 from 57.
Like, Psalm 65 says, give victory with your right hand and answer us. We had a question on Facebook, why just the right hand? That may be a bit of a rabbit trail for this discussion.
Yeah, Martin Luther had a whole book in theology about that, about the two hands of God. One represented protection, and I'm trying to remember what the other represented. Maybe salvation? Don't quote me on that.
That's interesting, though, if there is that distinction.
Oh, I think that it was Lutheran was right hand is more inward, and left hand was more outward. So God's left hand works to make people outwardly good, or outside of the nation of Israel, outside of the church. God's right hand works to make people inwardly holy, but also focuses on the God's people, the church, the nation of Israel.
So that does kind of say, like, I'm looking at Psalm 60, verse 5. Give victory with your right hand and answer us so that those whom you love may be rescued.
That's very internally facing, at least according
to... No, this right hand, though. He's asking the right hand.
Yeah, right hand is internal.
Oh, sorry, I got that backwards. Okay.
Okay, wait, so continue back with this. You're saying that phrase from 108, my heart, oh God, is steadfast, I will sing and make music with all my soul.
Joe, can you pull up 108 in the NIV, and I will read 57, and it's going to be almost word for word.
I can't. I should have mentioned, I default these days to... the New Revised Standard Version.
Yeah, it's throwing me off a little bit.
Okay, so Psalm 108, where am I reading?
Just pull it up on screen. I'm going to read down through verse 57, and we're going to see how similar it is. So read, looking at verse 1, my heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken at the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing for you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all over all the earth. So that was, I just read chapter 57.
But
that
you're was showing almost, 108.
But I'm showing 108.
Do you see how they are like,
okay, so what's,
literally copy and paste?
Do Psalm 60.
Psalm 60 is going to be verses 7 to 13 on 108.
Okay.
Save us with your right hand, that to those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from the sanctuary. In triumph I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah is my scepter, Moab is my wash basin, on Edom I toss my sandal, and over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? It is it not you, God?
So
you who have now rejected us. So it's slightly more different, but it's still a lot. It's just...
It would be interesting if we don't have the time today, but to be able to go through each of those, to look at the towns and tribes in a bit more detail. Because even like the whole thing about Shechem is... Shechem is the place of the... that eventually becomes the Samaritan people, I believe. Because I remember there was a... When the Jewish people would curse the Samaritans during their public prayers, or a rabbi or something somewhere had wrote about like something about the stupid people of Shechem, which was a reference to the Samaritans who the Jewish people didn't like because they were the half-breeds that they believed disobeyed God's command to not intermarry. It's a whole thing. So when we pass over it, in triumph I will parcel out Shechem.
This was before the split. This was
right.
Before.
But it's just what I'm saying is there's probably a lot more into those things than we have time for today in this moment. So let's continue this thought. What? Also, real quick.
Yeah. Oh no.
I didn't find any passages about the left hand of God.
Maybe that's like a Mishnah thing.
The symbolism of God's power. I know, but what I'm saying is there's no actual passages that refer to the left hand of God. So if we're talking about this right hand versus left hand thing, and this is the internal thing, I don't know that there's...
I don't know.
Anyways, so continue with this before I get us sidetracked again.
What's interesting is the beginning of verse 30, which matches the end of Psalms 108. The end of... These two psalms match each other, but the beginning of 60 is about you have rejected us, God, and burst upon us. You have been angry, now restore us. You have shaken the land and torn it open, mend its fractures, for it is quaking. You have shown your people desperate times. You have given us wine that makes us stagger. But for those who fear you, you have raised the banner to be unfurled against the bow. So, When David rewrites these two psalms into 108, he completely changes the place that it starts from. Because chapter 60 started from this place of like, we messed up big time, we've been rejected by God, we're outside of God's favor right now because we haven't been living properly. But when he rewrites it into 108, he kind of changes the narrative and is like, no, we're starting from this place of refuge from God, and we're starting from this place of security. When he originally wrote it, that was not the place that he started from.
Okay, so what your perspective here is that 108 is the combination of two different things that he's already written because of things he's experienced and went through. He's then bringing those things together to say he's in a new place.
Yeah, like maybe he went on a writer's retreat and they said, this was not good, you need to be better.
Okay, so what is this new place that he's at in relation to where he was, and what does that mean for us?
I think that's what we have to figure out.
You got five minutes. I feel like you're leading this one, so I'm going to pre-defer to you closing the message.
I think it's interesting. Well, first off, I think it's just an interesting commentary on Scripture and how Scripture came about, that like David is doing some sort of drafting, like he's not discrete and separate from his previous writings, that they are flowing in to what he's currently doing, and that maybe we see this in some of the histories. So like the first time David meets Saul, we have two different stories of David meeting Saul for the first time. And we kind of see these two separate traditions that run side by side, that those who put these scriptures together were like, both of these are important, we're going to put these in. Even though there's kind of a little bit of friction between them. And maybe we see that in David's writing here, where these are kind of, he's running through different drafts, different versions of these psalms, because these were musics and poems, and they weren't originally written as, this is something that people in 2023 are going to be studying. It was written as, here's an expression of my heart, the music that I'm writing, the moment that I'm in with God. And so that kind of changes for day. I mean, I don't do songwriting, but I assume that it goes through many, many, many drafts. And that might be what we're seeing with David here, is going through drafts.
Here is some input from some people.
People texting you? You said you were going to have your phone off.
I did, but it's somebody I like.
We have some Facebook input, too, we can get to after that if you want
to. Okay, first of all, one person said texting. That's all they wrote. I thought this was good. I thought it was shared. So they said, look, this is referencing stuff that I was talking with them about. God is big. God is awesome. My life, this was some of the stuff I was sharing with this person. My life right now seems like there's some bad stuff happening. My garden is not able to feed my family. My house is a tornado in training. I feel like things are attacking me on more than one front. I know God loves me. I know you love me, God. Help. Like, yeah, that's a good message. Yeah, like that's, yep. Yeah. So I'm going to invite them to come preach. we have 2 minutes, Hunter, to do. We have any other 3 minutes. Any other thoughts?
I have something.
Yes.
If you don't mind.
Go for it.
We know that the book of Psalms is a constant crying out. Mm-hmm. David was a really bad guy. All the iniquities, all the things that he did, but he loved God so much, and God loved him. I feel like that's the example for us. Mm. We're not perfect. We mess up all the time. But in our faith, we know that no matter what we do, God will still love us, but we can't keep messing up. Sure. And I just feel like David, this battle that continually goes on inside of him for all those things that he did. How do I make it right? How do I lead my people? Love. There's so much going on internally and emotionally.
Okay, so for those who can't hear online, she said essentially David had his own share of stuff that he was dealing with, as we all do, how he was often like at odds with what God was instructing or commanding him, but yet he trusted and understood that God still loved him and brought him through all these things. Is that kind of the synopsis? Yes. She said it better and with more emotion than I just did. But yeah. All right, let's go back here to Tim. We're just opening this up today. Go ahead.
Couldn't it also mean that no matter what, every morning he's going to wake up praising God, no matter what?
Okay, so Tim is saying, couldn't it also mean that no matter what, he's going to wake up every morning and keep praising God? Yeah, that's a good one too, I think. I think there's merit to having us hear this through a different lens. The thing that I'm always mindful of, and this isn't specific to this situation, just to be mindful of in general, is that I've never been a fan of going, well, I feel that this is what this is saying. Do you understand? Like, yes, there's different things that speak to us differently, but also we always do want to be mindful of the context and who's writing to who and for what situations. And so I think this is a good lesson for us to just go, yes, there are some times where it's like we're putting ourselves into these shoes in some places when there's a lack of either historical detail or confusion or uncertainty, or where we're not clear about certain things. So it's just stuff to be mindful of.
Speaking of shoes.
Yeah.
What's with the throwing shoes?
I don't know. It is a weird
thing.
Throw
my shoe at...
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been an insult. There's two ways to look at it, and I would
Seriously,
have to do research
for
more. Like, throwing shoes has been an insult for a while. But also, Isaiah talks about...
There was a literal buzzer that just went off.
Someone else had asked about, like, what are the metaphors that relate to the different cities?
Are you going to preach? Seth got where I was trying to go, which was Austin Powers. That's where I was trying to go with that.
Okay, so do you want to sum this up? Wherever we went, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, just keep it simple, man. Like, we just keep, like, use their stuff. They did good. Like, okay, go.
Like, what? Do you just
I don't
wanna,
know. Just okay. I'll shut up. I believe in you. I trust you. I love you. You're my favorite.
This is every day in the office. This is good. This is all in good faith. For me, like, the separation and this rewriting of scripture, like, puts David in the whole realm of a living faith. One of the things my professors talk to us about is that as Christians, we are part of a living tradition, and what that means is we don't see eye to eye on everything, and we discuss and argue and butt heads, but we still are moving in the same overarching direction towards wholeness and shalom and God and Christ. And I see this as David kind of stepping in, just as Paul would use old scriptures from the Tanakh and bring them into his writing to the different churches, and then put them in completely new context to help show this direction towards God's wholeness. Like, I think we see that right here in David, taking older things that he wrote and saying, like, I'm in a different situation right now, but also not everything that I experienced in the past has changed. Like, those connections between what I'm experiencing now and what I experience in this different situation that started differently and is working out of a different foundation. And he's going, I see him going back and revisiting that and saying, yeah, when I messed up, when I was struggling, which was the beginning of Psalm 60, like, I called on the Lord for help. And that's to be restored back into the righteous ways of God. But also when I was, like, running away for my life, I prayed the same thing. God, restore me back into your wholeness and your peace. So I see David connecting these two things of whatever I'm doing in my life, whatever's going wrong, whatever is disconnected from God's intended reality, my prayer is continuously, Lord, restore me. Restore me back into your righteous ways. Restore me back into the ways of peace and wholeness and love and joy. And I think Psalm 108 is this beautiful combination of all of that, and just that 100% pouring out of, Lord, connect me back into you. Let me experience you in your ways. So I see maybe not 108 as I'm going to ignore the first parts of these psalms that I'm combining, but more of, like, this is the centerpiece of what these two psalms were originally about. And it's connecting back into God and connecting back into the Creator who sets all things right.
Isn't that what Patrice and Tim said? Right? I mean, that's what you guys... No, that's good. That's good. Good job. I appreciate that. That actually made me feel better about it. Like, whether we're fleeing or whether we're fighting, like, always kind of recentering and trusting that God's going to be there to move us forward. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now for the fun part. I would like to hear...
Well, so first let me say, we did have quite a few more Facebook comments that... They sort of all came all together, so we didn't get to a lot of that. That post will still be there. Feel free to continue to discuss on there.
Okay, so are you going to address those, or are we moving?
No, we'll move on. We got to move
so
on.
So the we're going to have ChatGPT write us a 2-minute summary of this passage, but we're going to do it through the lens.
We had fun this week.
Of Batman.
Yeah.
So it will be a message from Batman concerning Psalms 108, verse 6, that will be read by Joe in the voice of Batman.
As best I can.
As best he can, written by ChatGPT. Yeah.
And don't try to put this on screen, Nick. Let's let it just be a surprise. The prompt was, please write a 2-minute sermon.
Should you stand at the podium? Or are you just going to go from there?
I've got to have it on
the
computer.
Okay, yeah. Okay, sorry.
Please write a 2-minute sermon on Psalm 108:6 in the voice of Batman. Psalm 108:6, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and answer me. I guess Batman is a King James guy.
I mean, it would make sense. He lives in the dark ages. What? I don't know. Okay, go ahead.
As Batman, I faced countless adversaries, witnessed the depths of despair, and seen the enduring power of hope. This verse speaks of deliverance and salvation, themes that resonate deeply with the battles I fought. In Gotham's darkest nights, I've learned that deliverance isn't just about physical rescue. It's about the strength to rise above challenges. The right hand symbolizes divine strength, a force greater than ourselves that aids in our deliverance. It's a reminder that in our toughest moments, we're not alone. We have a source of strength beyond our own capabilities. And answer me isn't just a plea for help. It's a call for connection. It's the recognition that our cries for help are heard. It's about trust and faith that there's a response coming, even if it's not immediate or apparent. In the depths of despair, it's easy to feel isolated, but this verse teaches us to reach out, to call upon that divine strength, to have faith that we'll be answered. It's about finding hope, even in the bleakest of moments. So let this verse...
Okay. We got the big conclusion here?
So let this verse be a beacon for us, a bat signal, if you will. In our personal struggles, let's remember that we have a right hand guiding us, giving us the strength to overcome. Let's call out, knowing that our cries for deliverance are heard. And let's hold on to hope, knowing that answers will come. In our own Gotham-like trials, this psalm reminds us that deliverance is within reach and salvation is on its way.
Whoa, that was good. That was good. Yeah. I think Batman did it better than we did. I'll be honest. I think Batman wins round one on that one. That was good. Like a bat signal, if you will. That's pretty good. Any thoughts on Batman's ChatGPT Batman's thoughts?
It sounded like yours when we first read it and not the...
It sounded like mine when we first read it?
It sounded like what you said when we first started reading it. Like, oh, it's just... This is what it's about. It didn't get into all the context behind, which I think points to the same direction, but just strengthens and deepens it. Yeah. So it felt a little more surface level.
Okay, so you're calling me surface level, but as smart as a computer...
And Batman.
I have mixed emotions about that statement. Okay, well, let's call that a day.
And there it is. That was Brainstorm Week 1. We learned that David kind of mixed and matched, remixed his psalms a little bit. That was a new one for me. The fact that the psalm was almost entirely pieces of other psalms that David had written. We learned that Hunter has never seen Austin Powers. Maybe he's just a bit too young for that. And we learned that I don't do a very good Batman voice. Obviously, we learned more than that. Part of the reason we do this series is because we feel like it's really valuable to see how we approach a passage or a scripture, how we don't just look at it on its own. Outside of the entire context of scripture, that's actually what we've noticed ChatGPT tends to do. Is ChatGPT, for all the practices that we've done during the week, trying to get up to speed and be ready for this, the AI has never used any scripture other than the single verse that we ask it to write a sermon on. And we find that interesting. We find that to be the way that we study scripture a lot of times, right? We see a scripture and we go, well, here's the plain reading of this. Here's what this obviously means. And it's not that that reading is incorrect or that it's not true, but it potentially is the case that that's not the only way to read it, and that there's a lot more depth and complexity when you locate a verse in its specific context, maybe in a chapter, but then when you also locate that chapter in a greater context of what a book is trying to accomplish, what it's trying to communicate, and then in the even greater context of the Bible and the overall story, the overall message that's happening there. And so we hope that as we do this, as ridiculous as it is, and we're having a lot of fun with this, we hope that it's maybe an insight, a view to sort of what it can look like. And we make no claims whatsoever. I just want to say this on the record because I don't think we said it during the service. We make no claims that the conclusion we are coming to is the right one or the only one or the best one. It's just the one that we're getting to in that moment. And that is the beauty of Scripture, is we can read the same thing over and over and over for our entire lives and see it in new ways. We can find new facets. We can find new meanings as we go through these different phases of our lives. Anyways, that'll do it for now. I'm going to stop rambling and we'll let you get back to the rest of your week. We hope we'll see you back here next time for the Foundry Church podcast. Until then, have a great week.